Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
We'll be reading the same passages during that study and that you'll hear also in worship. Listen now for God's word to and for us from John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 27 through 40. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to Jesus, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of the God, that you believe in him who he has sent." And so they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe in you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me will never be driven away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 1965, the Rolling Stones released their all-time number one hit, Satisfaction. Ironically, the lyrics of that song talk about just the opposite, a life of dissatisfaction. Perhaps you remember the refrain, "I can't get no satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. And I've tried, and I've tried, and I tried, and I tried, I can't get no satisfaction. This seems to be the theme song of so many of us, does it not? While we have extremely full lives, are we truly satisfied? We are overtired because we are overscheduled. We are overweight because we overeat. We are overextended because we overbuy. Someone once asked John Rockefeller how much money is enough, to which he answered, just a little bit more. As a society, we've coined the phrase retail therapy. We have television shows and we have support groups also about and for hoarders. We have taught ourselves to navigate multiple conversations using multiple devices at the same time. Some of us know how to have our laptop open, maybe our iPad, also our phone, and to be checking Facebook while we're having a conversation with somebody else. Why do we do this? Well, we do it because we are driven by the need and we are looking for fulfillment in the pursuit of fullness. Somehow a message keeps whispering to our spirits, telling us that fullness is more of everything, more money, more communication, more stuff, more education, more food, more activity. We somehow believe, at least somewhere in our hearts and our minds, that all of that is going to bring us satisfaction or fullness of life. But we know that's a lie. Have you ever said to God, oh dear God, if you just give me this, then I will be satisfied, then I will be happy, only to have received that thing and then there's always something else that you want, that you feel like you need to have to be truly human, truly full, and have a wonderful life. When our girls were little, they liked to watch the VeggieTales videos. Do you remember the VeggieTales videos? One video was named Madame Blueberry. Anybody remember Madame Blueberry? Hers is a story of a wealthy French blueberry who lives in a treehouse filled with all the stuff that she ever wanted. She has more stuff than anybody because she thought that her stuff was going to make her happy, give her a life of fullness and a life of satisfaction, but it didn't. She just sings, I'm so blue all the time. Every single day. She says, I'm so blue, I don't know what to do. The drive for fullness can turn any of us blue. We're full, but we're still hungry. We've tried and we've tried and we've tried and we've tried, but we can't get no satisfaction. Seems like an age-old problem. The crowds that we read about today in today's passage were seeking fullness too. In this passage, we hear the first I am statement in John's gospel. Jesus says clearly, I am the bread of life. Now, if we were to back up and read what began at the very first part of the sixth chapter of John, we would have been reminded that just 24 hours earlier than today's passage, Jesus had performed the miracle of the feeding of the multitudes. John's report tells us that Jesus fed 5,000 people with two fish and five loaves of bread. The traditional site of this miracle is Tagba. It's on the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's one of the places I visited with a bunch of other pastors in 2015. It was wonderful to be there. If you go to Tagba today, you will see the Church of the Multiplication, which is built over the rock from which they believe that Jesus stood when he blessed the loaves and blessed the fishes. Right next to the rock is the well-known mosaic. You can see a picture of that mosaic right there. John says that they ate and everybody was full. 24 hours later, when they found Jesus in Capernaum, They were looking for another miracle. The crowds asked Jesus, "What sign are you going to give us then so that we might see it and believe in you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." They were talking about the 40-year period of time in Israel's history after they had left the slavery in Egypt, before they had entered into the promised land. They had given up at that time their slave rations for freedom. But once they got into the desert, they were hungry and they started complaining, saying all kinds of things to Moses, like, at least we had food to eat when we were back in Egypt. So God provided them a miracle. Every day they received manna, which means, what is it? It was like a white flaky substance, scholars think, and they were able to gather up enough for each day, but no more, because if they gathered more than that, then it would spoil, except they were able to gather a double portion so they wouldn't have to gather on the Sabbath day. They were to live with the satisfaction that God was going to provide for whatever they needed day by day in real time. They didn't have to cook or bake the manna. Why did the crowd remind Jesus of the miracle? Perhaps it was because they wanted a miracle to take away all their troubles in life and worries. Have you ever put those kinds of conditions on God? Have you ever thought, well, maybe if I just attend worship every day, if I read my Bible every day, if I do some volunteer work and give some money to the church, then that ought to get me something. Have you ever thought that a byproduct of your faith should be a satisfaction that doesn't require much work? Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Do you feel, do you hear their desperation? They were saying, "Don't let us go home tonight without knowing that we're going to have enough in the morning." It's easy to turn our faith into a certificate of deposit. For those of us looking for a lifetime certificate of deposit, Jesus declares, "No, no, no, I am the bread of life." C.S. Lewis said, "I sometimes wonder whether all pleasures are not a substitute for joy." Of course, he was talking about the joy of the Lord that is with us in all circumstances. They were looking for a crust of bread, and Jesus wanted to give them and wants to give us the whole loaf. Jesus offers himself, God's self, each and every day, every minute of the day, second by second. Jesus offers us an eternal real-time relationship in which our deepest hungers are satisfied. The Apostle Paul understood this gift and he embraced it. He talks about it in his letter to the Philippians when he writes, "I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little. I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and going hungry, of having plenty and being in need. I can do all things through God who strengthens me." Jesus Christ is our strength, offering us a gift that is light years beyond fullness. As Moses taught, as recorded in Deuteronomy, and Jesus quoted to Satan when tempted in the desert, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Father." Satisfaction is found in an ongoing day-to-day relationship of trust and dependence with Christ, in which God meets our deepest needs in real time. The bread of life is the gift of the Scriptures, every word, so we have to read it. The bread of life is the gift of a lifeline of ongoing prayer. Ginger and I were having just a conversation about all of this just a little bit ago, about the times when we are really good at doing those things and really good at coming to church and celebrating communion regularly, but about the times sometimes when we cut back a little bit, then God isn't able to work quite as fully through us as God might want to. The bread of life is the spiritual presence of Christ when we meet him in the Lord's Supper. The bread of life is the teaching of the Holy Spirit working through scriptures and prayers and sacraments and the voices of other people that lead us into deeper understanding, empowering us to walk in Christ's footsteps. We need one another. The bread of life that sustains us is the joy of the Lord. And joy is not tied to, it's not the same as happiness. Happiness comes from the word happenstance. And so if good things are happening, then we're happy. If not so good things are happening, then we're not happy. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it is ours regardless of the situations and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Jesus is the one who came that we might have abundant life. He is the one who said, I, don't look anywhere else, I am the bread of life. In the I am statements, not only do we learn who God is, but we also learn who we are. Have you ever watched the show Chopped before on the Food Network? Contestants, usually professional cooks, I see some smiles, usually professional cooks come together and they come together because there's a prize at the end, and they also like the honor that it bestows if they're winners of Chopped. And so they're given these various ingredients, and they have a time limit, and they're supposed to make something with them. And so they get this title at the end of it as the Chopped champion, whoever wins. So one time I was watching it, and it was between this chef from the Adirondacks, and his name was Lance, and it was from this lady from France, and they were competing. It was down to them, and they were competing, and she was a woman who lived in the United States, but she was from France, and her name was Joanne. And if she won, she said she was going to go visit her grandmother in France who was dying. During one of the interviews, Lance talked about his faith, and he said, before God, I was just a jerk, but now I am able to do things with grace. In the final round of the show, Lance and Johan were competing, and Lance got chopped out. And did I get that right? No, Lance won. I'm messing up the story. Lance won. And Johan got chopped. She started to walk off of the stage, and so Lance said that he wasn't expecting to win. He said he wasn't expecting the money or counting on it, and he said that Johan, his competitor, deserved it much more than he did and as much as he did, so she should go and see her grandmother. And do you know that he gave her the prize? Well, the audience was just stunned. No one had ever given away prize money like that or a title. Lance said, what I've discovered from my faith is that it's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And today, the journey was great. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. When we know who Jesus is, we know who we are. Did you happen to count the number of loaves of bread in the mosaic? There are four, but doesn't the story say that there were two fish and five loaves? I wonder why. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And when we know who Jesus is, by watching him, we know who we are. There is the miracle of the feeding of the multitudes is the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels. And in both Matthew's and in Luke's accounts, The disciples come to Jesus, who have been teaching the crowds, and it's dusk, and they tell him, tell the people to go home and go into the village and get something to eat because it's getting dark. But Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. You see, there are only four loaves in that mosaic because you and I are the fifth loaf. Amen. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in you being there. The Holy Spirit has something that God wants to do in and through you just by being there. Believe this and go in God's love, protection, joy, and power. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Please stay safe.